We're going to be in 2 Corinthians this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Just remain seated, we'll read our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This morning I'm blessed to use a new Bible that was given to me as a gift from Brother Chad and Miss Chelsea. And so I teased in Sunday school, if my Sunday school lesson goes bad, then, you know, maybe it's because I got a new Bible, but that's probably not good to blame a bad sermon on a Bible, so it's probably just me. But anyway, I am excited to use my new Bible this morning, get things going with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians has been an interesting text to study. Because of what Paul's going through when he wrote this letter, just doing a lot of suffering because of his stand for Jesus. Can I say that when you take stands for Jesus, you know, it, when you live for Jesus, it puts you in a context separate from this world. Amen? It puts you on a different plane and path. And so the world's heading one direction, but you're living for God and you're heading in an entirely different direction. So there are certain things that you're going to face in life. Might not be the same kinds of things or the same things in like manner that Paul faced, but we experience things. Well, Paul was going through some pretty tremendous struggles, and he was faithful. But to compile the issue, the church in Corinth was holding things over Paul and bringing accusations against him as well. And that makes it, I would say, even that much more challenging, that in life we face the attacks that come our way from our flesh, the world, because we live in a different, again, as we said, in a different pathway than this world. And then clearly there are some things that come to our mind and attack us that is straight from Satan. Amen? There's things that we feel in life sometimes, attacks in our minds that just feel, it just so clear and obvious that the devil is attacking. So we have all of that. But to compile the issue, you would come to church and there would be one or two or more, or one is enough, right? Where you have somebody at church who's against you. And so this is a challenge that Paul is facing. And when he writes this letter, he wants to help the church to see not only the struggle, but to grow through this issue that they're having. And I think that we can grow as well. But what we need is humility. What we need is humility. We could just this morning start a series of lessons and messages on humility and do it for the next 6 months and not exhaust it. Isn't that right? We need humility, church family. We need it. And you can't come to Christ, you can't grow in your faith without being humble. And humility will allow you to be corrected. Humility will allow you to admit when you're wrong. Humility will allow you to admit that you have a need that you cannot satisfy on your own. You need God. You need Him. But only humility will allow you to see it. Well, this morning we're going to talk some about humility. And the way we're going to deal with it is by calling it helplessness. Now, helplessness has a different, there's different angles that we could come at being helpless, and we'll do some of that in the message. But if we could summarize it down to one thing, it's really just a dose of humility, isn't it? Helplessness bringing us to humility. And if we would allow our helpless days, our helpless times, our helpless circumstances to bring us to humility, then what that helplessness will do is help. Helplessness in those times helps. And some of us need a good dose of helplessness because we need a good dose of humility. And my hope is this morning God will touch you about that reality. Now, we're going to read our text, verse 8 through 11. With that in mind, follow what Paul says here, just four verses. Chapter 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver. So not only did He deliver, but He does deliver, meaning God is the everlasting, faithful deliverer, isn't He? Yeah. In whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Verse 11. ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. So this morning, the title of the message is A Good Dose of Helplessness, Bringing Us to Humility is the idea, it helps. Let me give you a subtitle, Handle Your Problems on Your Knees. Handle your problems on your knees. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings on the lesson message this morning, that you would teach us, that you would convict us, that you would touch us, and through that, dear Father, that we would obey and trust in faith and take steps in your direction as you lead. Please guide us, help us, strengthen us where we're weak. We give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, sometimes we can't see the answers that we need, and because we feel that we need an answer, it brings us to a helpless feeling. We spent Thursday, I mentioned this in Sunday school, in Topeka, and we did some shopping and spent some time as a family, and I got a new Bible, I mentioned, gift from Brother Chad and Miss Chelsea. And we ate Chick-fil-A, we went to Sam's, we went to Kohl's, and you know who was at the helm with all of those stops, amen. The boys and I, while my wife was in Kohl's doing her thing, it's funny how that works when we go to these shops. The first one out of the store usually is me and one of the boys. And then we're waiting in the van, and then another one trickles out, and then another one trickles out, and then finally all five of us guys are in the van, and my wife is in there all alone. So while we're in the van, we decide to watch these jugglers on YouTube do some juggling tricks, and so we had a good time with that. Melissa made her way out. She had a couple bags, and she had a great time in there doing her thing. But she opened the back hatch, and Ethan was in the back seat. And so she had gotten something for Ethan. She puts the things in the van, and Ethan's hanging over the back seat having a conversation with Mom. And she said, I got something for you. He said, really? All right. And she says, close your eyes and hold out your hands. And I'm just in the front looking forward, not paying too much attention, but I'm hearing this conversation. And the next thing I know is, ow, you poked me in the eye. Melissa had been poked in the eye by Ethan. And he said, sorry, Mom, I had my eyes closed. So hold out your hands and close your eyes. He did exactly that and poked her right in the eyeball. So it's funny how that worked, but I think that relates to what we go through in life sometimes. I mean, we need answers, but we're blind, walking through life blindfolded to what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to respond, where are we supposed to go, how are we supposed to act. How am I supposed to deal with this relationship? How am I supposed to handle this financial turmoil? How am I supposed to handle this health issue or job issue? And so walking through life, needing to deal with problems like that, needing to deal with issues and feeling blindfolded can bring you to a helpless place. And when we have those feelings of helplessness, feelings of powerlessness, not only can it be stressful, but what it can do is it can bring us low so that there's only one of two things that we can do in those times. One, we can turn our hearts to God. And by the way, can I say that that's what God wants us to do? That's what you and I would be wise to do when we go through our times of helplessness, is that we would turn to God. When there's nothing you can do about it, that we would turn to God and say, you know, Lord, I'm going to put myself in your hands. But sometimes what we do instead of turning our hearts to God is we just stay in that sense of helplessness, and we sort of, you know, just wallow there and turn in life and live a kind of miserable and depressing day after day. Feeling helpless. There's nothing I can do about this, and I can't escape it. And here I am, just doing the best I can. I guess sometimes we feel like life is just doing the best we can. Yeah. Well, Paul was brought to a state of helplessness, powerlessness. And what he said is that we, without God, are going to be brought to helplessness and powerlessness consistently in life. Now I want you to see this. Look at verse 8 and 9. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. So what he's saying there is he experienced hardship in Asia. He had went through a bad series of circumstances, and the Corinthians didn't understand what Paul was going through. They didn't understand how low he was. Can I say that that is true for us sometimes, that when we come to church and we see the people that are around us, we don't know what people are going through. All we can do is consider what we're going through at times. That's all we do. Because we don't allow ourselves to get outside of our own circumstances to begin bearing the burdens of the people that we love in this church who need that kind of encouragement and exhortation and provoking unto love and to good works, and to stick in there. Hang in there. You can do it. You can press on. You're going through this hard thing, but with God's help, you can do it. We need that kind of encouragement. But so often, now this isn't an indictment necessarily from me to you, but I'm just saying it's a tendency I think we have sometimes to come and think about our own issues, which are there, and not think about the issues and struggles and troubles that people around us are going through. And often we do that because, you know, when you come to church, you look nice. I mean, look at these boys on the front row and Brother Josh in the back. Make sure everybody sees Brother Josh because he has a suit on today. And we see people and they look nice. And it's like, these people don't have problems. Look at them. And their kids come in and everybody looks nice. And it looks like they combed their hair that morning, or at least the front of it. You know how some kids in the back, it's like, woo! In the front, you're like, good job on your hair today, buddy. But anyway, at least they made an attempt, which is more than we can say about a couple guys that are in here. But anyway, no one embarrass a few guys, but I guess it's too late. But, you know, we see people and they look like they have it all together, and we think, well, nobody has problems, but that's not true, is it? And we have our struggles, and we need to see that there are people around us who have them too. Is there anybody exempt from this? No. Well, Paul was going through hard things. The Corinthians didn't have a heart enough to open up to see it. They had, I would say, no idea about what he was going through. And so he tells them about what happened to him without going into details, too much details, that he was pressed. Look at verse 8. We were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. You ever been there? So discouraged and depressed that, not that you actually considered taking your own life, but that just living life is miserable. Living life is miserable. That's where he was. Verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. So they had this sort of anxiety over them because they had a sentence of death. Now I want to point your attention, verse 9, we had a sentence of death. Then he said this, that we should not trust in ourselves. See that word, that? This is an indication that the trouble for Paul became a good thing. Let me say that again. Just that simple word, that, is an indication that Paul saw his troubles as a good thing. Why? Look what he said. That we should not trust in ourselves. So this hard thing that he was going through brought him to the point of helplessness. There's nothing I can do about this. There's nothing I can do except trust in God. I can't take care of this myself. There's a helplessness as it relates to how I can handle this. And so this was good. I was talking to Melissa about this, and she mentioned about Mila the night she was born, that she didn't sleep a wink that night. I know you didn't either, Miss Chelsea, but you should have been. Anyway, she did not sleep. She was so anxious. It was kind of excitement mixed with nervous, you know. So she stayed up all night. She made this little thing for your door, for Mila's door. And sorry to say it, but I slept really great that night. But my heart was with you, but I was in the alfalfa patch. But helplessness will cause you to lose sleep. There's nothing I can do to help this. The Corinthians had certainly been trusting in themselves. They needed a dose of helplessness. Paul understood how it helped, and that God used it to show him he can't get himself out of this, and that he needed God, and that's what the Corinthians needed. Why? Because they lived in disobedience to God. They didn't trust God. They didn't trust Paul's authority as the apostle. They, in fact, doubted his authority. They listened to the wrong people. They weren't obeying God. And sometimes we do that. We doubt the authority of the message. We hear the sermons, but we wonder, does it work that way with me? And we struggle because sometimes, listen to this, we listen to the wrong people. I'm not foolish to think that everybody in this room is always seeking godly wisdom from the Bible before making decisions, but that we report our despair and our distress and our struggles with the people, our coworkers, our neighbors, or some family or friends that have no acquaintance with the Scriptures or the Word of God, and we listen to the counsel of the world. David said this, in my opinion, one of the greatest psalms he ever wrote. Blessed is the man, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The counsel, the guidance, the instructions, the help of the ungodly. People who have no interest in God. They have no concern for the Bible. And the Corinthians were doing just that. And so Paul confronts this because they needed to have a good dose of helplessness that would bring them to God. They needed it. We want to rely on God. That's why you're here. All of God's people said, we want to rely on God. That's why you're here. So this message isn't to people who don't have an interest in God. Sorry about that. This message is to people who want to rely on God, but sometimes don't know how to. You might be going through things and you don't know how to rely on God. A dilemma, a distress. And this situation is bringing feelings of helplessness. Like my kids, if you want to raise your kids for God, and you look around at the kids, and you say, man, I want my kids to love the Lord. Did you know that there are times as a mom or a dad that you feel helpless? Because you, when they're this big, we tell them, don't we? And they better do it. And they should, and they need to learn how to follow instructions that way. By the way, can I say, moms and dads, don't be afraid to tell your kids what to do when they're, especially when they're small. I mean, when they get bigger, we can reason with them, but we still need to point them in the direction they need to go. Don't feel like you're doing a bad thing by telling your kids what to do. That's what the word, by the way, look up in Webster's 1828 what the word parent means. It means tell your kids what to do, okay? Let me just summarize it for you. And as they grow, we say, this is so fantastic. When my kids were little, we would go into department stores and there would be music. You know how the music blares in some stores? And it's just awful. And then when you listen to the lyrics, you're like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe this is so awful. And we would say to the kids when they were little, this is bad music, boys. This is bad music. And they were like, this is bad. And then we would go into the stores and then the music would be going, you know, and they're little and they would report it down every hall loudly. This is bad music. And there are people all around looking at us. I'm like, okay, we got it. All right. Okay. You know? And so when they're little, we can tell them what to do and they do it. But then when they get older, we sort of lose the ability to have the same kind of, not authority, influence. Thank you. The same kind of influence with them. It changes. And we want them to go a certain direction, but now they're making choices, aren't they? You feel a little bit helpless when sometimes the kids are making choices and you're wanting them to make a good one, and it seems, A, that either they're not making a good one or they haven't made the bad one, but you see the way they're going. We need to sit down and reason with them. We need to do all that we can to have them under the Word of God so the Spirit of God can touch them. But it's not you or me as mom or dad or pastor or youth pastor or any kind of influence who are going to have the same kind of influence and control to make them do something. And so there's helplessness there. Can I say that helplessness is good when raising your children? Why? Because they need God, and you and I need to understand that we need God to know how to point them in the right direction. We just need to see it as a good thing to be helpless. It's not a bad thing, because when we're helpless, then it could be that we'll humble ourselves while we're there, direct our attention to a holy God and say, "Dear Father, I need you to do in my kids what I can't do. And Father, I need you, listen, I need you to help me to know what you want me to do so that I can be the example for them and the faithful witness to them that they desperately need. And without you, we can't do it at all." Paul was there, and we need to be there. Sometimes our marriage gets to that place. It's not just our children, but we wonder about our marriage relationship. If you're married, then you know what I'm talking about. You say, "Well, our marriage is doing great." But you've been through those times. There's no marriage who hasn't. You say, "You have, Pastor?" I have. We have. Since in Fall City, yes. We've had very hard times. And we've had times of tremendous helplessness in our marriage. I wondered about her. She wondered about me. In those times, we need to get to our knees and humble our hearts and say, "God, I can't do this without you." That's what helplessness needs to be. Addiction takes you there, doesn't it? Some of us have addictions that is hurting us, both physically and in our testimony. But when you're addicted, you feel that you cannot stop. You know, listen, there has been things that I have wanted to stop doing, whether it's diet. And I don't say this in jest, tongue in cheek, not at all, in very serious. To change your eating habits is very hard. And it's a timely topic right now, isn't it? Coming out of the holidays, where pretty much what we did the whole time was like eat, and then it gets cold, and the holidays wore us out. So guess what you want to do all day? Sit around and eat. And to stop, to change, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. There's addictions that follow suit with this. Like, "Well, you know, I'm going to stop eating chocolate." Well, good luck with that. Some of us. "Well, I'm going to stop eating sweets." Oh, not just chocolate, but all sweets? Watch out. Watch out being around you for the first 5 days. Come off of sugar. We get addicted to these things. And maybe in the past, smoking, drinking, pornography, too much TV, video games, kids. Not just kids, by the way. But and we already mentioned something about eating. All these things. And through going through life, we have seasons where we're like, "I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to quit this time." And then maybe a day or a half a day, and we're like, "Well, tomorrow." And then we forget all about it because it's hard. You know, I have family I desperately love. And they've wanted to, and I'm not just talking about one particular, there's a variety, there's a few. They've wanted to lose weight. I mentioned Brother Pendergraft this morning. He died on the table when I was in college. Open heart surgery. He was 56. Now, I mean, we're past the midpoint of life, but that's too young. Amen? And he was overweight. He was overweight. The doctor said, you need to get it together. And so he started going to the track. But, you know, at that point, it was at that point, it was about too late. Did you know that when I was, when we were going through that, it was hard? But I made a decision. I made a decision in those years that with the Lord's help, that as a pastor, that I would try not to let something like that happen with my health. I told the story, and many of you remember it, about the horse who the rider needed to deliver the message because the fort was under siege and they ran out of supplies and they needed to get the message to the next fort to deliver supplies and armaments and artillery, because if they weren't, they wouldn't be saved. They were going to die. And so the rider got on the horse and took off and rode and rode and rode and rode and rode and got about halfway. He never stopped for water. He never stopped for food. He never stopped to rest. And about halfway, the horse fell over dead. After a time, another rider came up behind, and this rider said, I need you to deliver this message. Because my horse died, I can't deliver the message. So this rider stopped, fed the horse, watered the horse, took care of the horse, rested the horse, and was able to deliver the message that saved the fort. Well, we have a message to deliver. The moral of the story is, don't let your horse die. Because if your horse dies, you can't deliver the message. Well, I don't want my horse to die, friends. Because I got a wonderful message. It's called the gospel, and I want to deliver it for a long time. And I know you feel the same way. But I'm telling you this to say that when I was in college and Brother Pendergraft passed away at 56, I made a decision. I'm going to get it together with the Lord's help, and I don't want to be in that position when I become his age. Does that mean that it was easy? Has been easy? No. We get addicted to not only these things, but food, relaxation, comfort. We don't want to exercise. We don't want to take care of ourselves, whether it be these addictions or food itself. So why are we talking about this? Because I told you I had family, and I've had family who said this to me, verbalized it. They've tried, they've tried, they've tried, they've tried, they've tried, and they said, I don't care anymore. I'm not going to try anymore. I don't care. I can't do it. Sounds helpless, doesn't it? Did you know that helplessness can bring you to one of two places? It can cause you to humble yourself and turn to God because He's the only way. Or you can wallow in it. You can just stay there in despair. It just is the way it's going to be the rest of my life. I can't change it. That's helpless, but it can be a good thing. Because it can cause you to say, I can't do this without God. That's where Paul was. He was in the state of death, and he said, I can't do this without God. Look what it says next. Look at verse 9, the last part. But in God, oh, isn't this good? But in God which raiseth the dead. This is where his eyes started to look. I'm helpless. I'm to the point of death. I'm in despair. I there's nothing I can do about this, but here's where my eyes are going to look. To God which raiseth the dead. We could chew on that the rest of the day, couldn't we? And not expound on the richness of the fact that God raised the dead. Amazing. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will deliver us. Look at verse 11, and ye also helping together by, what's that next word? Prayer for us. And then later on in the verse 11, he says, thanks may be given unto many on our behalf. Do you know why Paul thanked them for praying? God did it, right? Amen? God delivered him. And he said, God who raised the dead delivered me. I was helpless and God delivered me. So I confess that when I'm in a state of helplessness, that the one that I need to direct my attention to is God, because he's the deliverer. But here's what Paul did in this last section or last verse of our text. He said, I want to thank you for praying for me, because I understand something about all of this. That the difference between where I was and where I am today was prayer. your prayers for me. Because God's the one who brought this deliverance. I didn't do it for myself. And when you pray, you're praying to God that he might bring deliverance. God's the one who did it. So Paul said, we're going to give glory to God who brings the deliverance. We're going to point our attention to the one who gives strength in our times of helplessness, and it's God. Helpless points in life can bring us to God if you'll let them take you to your knees. Getting poked in the eye will take you to your knees, won't it? One time I had a contact over my, you know, when you wear contacts, sometimes they slide off of your eye and they're in there, but they're not where it should be. Those of you, it doesn't happen too often with me, praise the God, but it happened to me one time right before I was to sing. And that thing went all the way on the back side of my eyeball. And you couldn't even see it. It was all the way back there. And when that happens, you just got to wait because the eye will push it back. But it hurts. And I'm trying to sing about, great is your faithfulness, or sing a song about faith, and I'm just hurting so bad. It'll take you to your knees when you go through things like that physically. When you are in a helpless situation, we need the power of God to work in us. And when we're in those difficult times is when God can work greatest in us, because it can take us to our knees. And that's what we need to do. We need to let God, through these helpless times, take us to our knees. One writer told of an American in Brazil. One day, he was walking along the streets and decided that he wanted to get a cup of coffee before heading to his university class that he was going to teach. He was a professor, and got a tug on the pants and turned around. It was a little boy that was about 6 years old and had these beady eyes looking at him, helplessness, just having a need and looking at the man and saying with this dirty face, would you give me a piece of bread, sir? The writer said, there's little beggar boys all over the place in this area, but he felt an unusual desire to be a help to this little boy, and he was already on his way to the coffee shop, so he asked the boy to come along with him. And when he went to the counter, he gave instructions to the cashier about his desire for coffee, and told the man to give the little boy whatever pastry he wanted behind the counter. And then he walked to the end where the coffee was and waited for and got his coffee, which was at the other end of the counter. Didn't give another thought to the boy, because usually what would happen is the boy would get his food and he would run out and he wouldn't see him again. But while he was preparing his cup of coffee, he felt a tug on the side of his jacket. And he turned around, and it was this little boy who looked up to him and he said, sir, thank you. And then he left. So it was enough that it stirred in the heart of this man that he said if he would have asked for the world and it was in his capability, he would have given it to this young man. That was blessed and received such a blessing that he could have left but came back with a grateful heart to say, thank you. You and I are like the beggar boy. We are. We have times of helplessness. And in those times, what we often do is sometimes, we won't let these times take us to our knees. But we'll just try to, in the stress and anxiety of our heart, deal with it on our own. But we stay there. Because that's what helpless times do. When all the time, the one who can provide, the one who can take care of us in our times of helplessness is available at the tug of a coat. but it will require you to do something that I think sometimes is the greatest struggle of all, is to humble your heart. To humble your heart. To humble yourself enough to go to your knees. And when you're on your knees, to say, God, I need you. I cannot do this without you. And let him provide. Let him take care of you. Let him come to your heart and be for you what you cannot do for yourself. Humility. Helplessness can take us there if we'll let it. And we all experience these things. And God's available. He's there to provide. And Paul says, prayer is the difference. Now I'm going to finish by making a statement and we'll be done. And we'll have opportunity to bow the knee, won't we? With the altar call. If God's touched your heart in a specific way, you can come. But did you know that often what indicates whether or not we've humbled ourselves and we're relying on God in our times of helplessness, you know what often is an indicator of whether or not we're relying on God, is how much are we on our knees? How much time do we spend with God in prayer? How many times can we turn to God and say thank you because we have trusted in him to get through this? Can I say this morning that it's time, I think, for us to go to our knees and let God work in a situation that we can't fix ourselves. Father, this morning we we see the indicator so clear, I think, in this through prayer, that there were those who prayed, and Paul clearly identified that the difference was your work in his situation and prayer. I pray that you would this morning help those who need to come to you to have courage. Helplessness is so hard. It's so disheartening and discouraging. I just pray that you'd help us to allow it to humble our hearts and come to you. Lift our minds and hearts and hands to you as the escape that we need, the help that we need, the guidance that we need, the strength that we need. We'll give you glory for that. For those that are lost this morning, would you give them courage to come and get it settled before it's too late, please? We'll give you glory for how you work in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.